This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, April 2nd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start down in New Orleans where the college basketball season and the Final Four is culminating tonight, Kentucky against Kansas. Now, Kentucky has been pretty much the best team in the country from day one. Expected to make the final game, expected to win the final game. I think I don't do point spreads much, but they're a 6.5-point favorite. If you watch Louisville, Kentucky, and Kansas, Ohio State on Saturday night, and we'll get into the details of those games in a minute, but if you watch those games, it struck me as if either Ohio State or Kansas had played Kentucky Saturday night the way Ohio State and Kansas played, Kentucky would have beat them by 20. In fact, I think Louisville would have beaten both Kansas and Ohio State if Louisville had played them rather than Kentucky. But that's irrelevant. Tonight's the night. It depends how they play. I will say this about Kansas. They really can defend. I know we've talked about it over the last 2 weeks even. At the beginning of the season, before they played the first game, I picked Ohio State to win the whole thing. Before the tournament started, in my pool, I picked Kansas to beat Ohio State, and I picked Kentucky to beat Michigan State in the Final Four. Now, since everybody on the planet's picking Kentucky, and again, Calipari has found a way to lose in three Final Fours so far. Kentucky is the better team. I still pick Kansas before the tournament. I'll still take them today. They can really defend. We'll see if they can defend against Kentucky. And we'll also see, frankly, if Tyshawn Taylor of Kansas, who's had a terrible tournament and is a big-time player, if he can turn things around, because they're going to need, I think, a big game from him to win the whole thing. But let's go back to Saturday. You know, the Civil War, it was called, Louisville against Kentucky, Pitino against Calipari. Pitino, of course, a legend in Kentucky, won a national championship at Kentucky, eventually came back to coach at Louisville. Calipari has taken over the country, frankly, in recruiting. Turns out two or three number one draft picks, it seems, every year. A lot of his players are one and done. But this was going to be the Civil War. I think Pitino understood that he was in a big hole talent-wise, but give Louisville credit. They battled very hard. They had I think it was a tie game, and they had the ball with about 7 minutes to go, but Kentucky too strong at the end. The reality is Kentucky has Anthony Davis, and all these other teams don't. Yes, Kentucky is very deep. Yes, they're very talented, but Anthony Davis is the player of the year and was given the player of the year award over the weekend. Saturday against Louisville, Davis, 18 points, 14 rebounds, 7 for 8 from the field, 5 blocks. Just a very, very top player. I mean, going to be probably the first pick in the draft. And Calipari was talking about him. He was a 6'3 guard, and then he sprung up 6 inches. So he has that ability, you know, to handle the ball, to make moves, to not just dribble the ball up the court slowly. He's got athleticism, of course. Now at 6'9", 6'10", he's a man-child. He's a man against boys. 18 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. That's what Anthony Davis does. He deserved to be and is the player of the year. A couple of other guys had good games for Kentucky on Saturday. Kid Gilchrist was not one of them, of course. He did score 9 points, but they're going to need him tonight to beat Kansas. But I did want to focus briefly on Darius Miller, a rare senior who can really play for Kentucky. Stayed 4 years. Very good article in the New York Times about him today. Darius Miller is a Kentucky kid, and if they win the national title tonight, and again, they're the pretty good favorite to win the national title, Darius Miller will become the first player in the history of Kentucky basketball to be Mr. Kentucky in the state of Kentucky as a high schooler, to win a state title in Kentucky as a high school player, and if they win tonight, to win a national title as a Kentucky player. He'll be the first guy ever to do that. And in the article, Calipari really praises him as the most unselfish player he's ever coached. He's actually been benched for not taking open shots. They even speak to his high school coach in Kentucky, who said the same thing. Very unselfish guy. You almost had to goad him into shooting. But Miller, on Saturday against Louisville, had a big part in that win. He was 4-for-7 from the field. He had 13 points. He had 3 rebounds, and he hit that huge three if you watched the game, and you probably did. Kentucky up 55-51, back and forth. Louisville hung around, but Darius Miller hit a big three when they were up 4 to make it up 7. With about 3 minutes left, I think, and for all intents and purposes, that was the dagger that opened the 7-point lead, and Louisville really never quite recovered from that. So Deron Lamb with 10 points for Kentucky as well. Again, a team effort, but Davis is the man among boys on that team and in this Final Four. For Louisville, Gorky Dang, their big man, had a decent game, but not great. 7 points, but 12 rebounds. He's only 3-for-10 from the field, and again, hard for him to play Davis offensively and defensively. Bahanan, their other big man, 10 points, 9 rebounds. Peyton Siva, their little point guard, really finally got untracked in the second half. Finished with 11 points, but only 3 assists, 4-for-11 from the field. He had some big shots late, but wasn't enough. Keurig, they're a very good outside shooter, only 3-for-8 for 7 points. Frankly, nobody scored more than 11 points for Louisville, and only 2 guys in double figures. Patino, interviewed after the game on CBS by Tracy Wolfson, you know, said all the right things. He said this was, he always said his 1987 Providence team, where Billy Donovan was his star. Billy Donovan, the coach of Florida, now was always his favorite team. But that this team, last year and this year, approached the 87 Providence team, which made an unlikely run to the Final Four back in 87. It's come full circle now for Patino. 25 years later, he gets back to a Final Four. But I think he knew what he was up against, not resigned to the fact that he would lose. And again, Louisville played great. Had him tied 7 minutes left in the game. That's really all, you know. I'm sure Patino would have signed up for that before the game. But Louisville's going to be unbelievable next year. Most of their guys are coming back. You know, Kentucky will reload again, but Kentucky 69, Louisville 61. That was the first game on Saturday. Kentucky moves on to the Final Four. Patino actually said, I wonder, you know, Louisville, Kentucky is the Hatfields and the McCoys. Patino actually said on the air, I hope Kentucky wins the national title and brings the trophy back to the state of Kentucky. And wow, I think that's a big statement coming from a Louisville guy, even though he used to be a Kentucky guy. I don't know if the Louisville fans will actually be rooting for Kentucky. I would think it'd be more likely that they'd be rooting for Kansas. Louisville finishes the season at 30-10. Kentucky now 37-2. One other thing about Darius Miller, the senior, when he plays tonight, and he doesn't start now. He's the sixth man. But, you know, he'll play 29 minutes Saturday night, a big part of their team. When he plays tonight, he will set the Kentucky all-time record for most games played at Kentucky. Again, that's even a stunningly amazing statistic in today's world of guys who are generally one and done. And Miller probably could have gone last year, maybe even the year before, but he's going to play in the NBA. Darius Miller, kind of the glue as a senior when you're starting 3 freshmen and 2 sophomores, which is what John Calipari does at Kentucky. So Kentucky plays in the final game tonight. Louisville, after a very good season, overachieved in my opinion, won the Big East title and made a run to the Final Four, and they're going to be even better next year. The other game, which clearly got second billing, but I thought was a game of 2 top 5 teams, frankly, Kansas and Ohio State. A back and forth game, in my opinion, not very well played. Yes, both teams can defend, especially Kansas. Kansas holding Ohio State to 28 points in the second half, which is why they won. Final score, Kansas 64. Ohio State 62. But it really was, I thought, look, Thomas Robinson is the man. He's a beast, 19 points, 8 rebounds. Tyshawn Taylor, their point guard, did not have a good game, has not had a good tournament, has not hit a 3 the whole tournament. Saturday night, 3-for-11 from the field, 10 points. He did have 9 assists and 3 rebounds, and he's an excellent player, but he just hasn't been able to get it going. But I really thought it was more Jeff Withey, their big man who can block shots, and Relaford, who was unbelievable, I thought. 5 for 7 from the field, 4 for 4 from the free throw line, 1 for 1 from three, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. I thought Relaford was the key. He made some big baskets. And Withey, their big man, 4 points, 8 rebounds, 7 blocks, including Sullinger on back-to-back shot attempts. The knock on Sullinger is he really can't bang with the real big boys. And he had a terrible game for Ohio State, 5 for 19 from the floor for 13 points. But I thought it was guys like Relaford and Withey, although Thomas Robinson's unbelievable and was also the other night. I thought it's these, I don't want to call them secondary guys, but Kansas only plays 7. And even their subs only played, their 2 subs played 17 and 11 respectively. So most of their guys are going to the mid-30s or higher. Relaford played 38 minutes, Taylor 37, Robinson 35, Withey 34. But, you know, it's all hands on deck for the final game, and you would expect these guys even maybe to go more, to go 40 minutes or 38 minutes. You got to try and get them a rest when you can, but Kansas is going to really have to defend. Again, they put the clamps on Ohio State in the second half. Ohio State up 9 at halftime, but it was the old tale of 2 halves as Kansas came out, scored quickly, and then outscored Ohio State 39-28 in the second half. Aaron Kraft just was okay. The point guard for Ohio State, who had a very good tournament, 4 for 11 from the field, 2 for 3 from three, but 11 points, only 3 assists, no rebounds. He did have 3 steals. He's a very good player. Sullinger also a disappointment, even though he had 13 points and 11 rebounds, 5 for 19 from the floor, 0 for 2 from three. He did have 3 blocks. Buford finally woke up. He had an okay tournament, but Saturday, 6 for 10, 3 for 5 from three, 19 points, 7 rebounds. If you knew Buford was going to play that well without knowing anything else, I think you probably would have picked Ohio State to win. And again, Ohio State could have won. It was, in my opinion, a sloppily played game. But Kansas comes out at top at the end. Kansas 64, Ohio State 62. Ohio State, the number 2 seed that made the Final Four, finishes the season at 31-8. Kansas, a number 2 seed, obviously going to the final game, now 32-6 with 1 game left. 64-62, Kansas. In terms of the game tonight, again, Kansas fell behind by double digits to Ohio State, fell behind by double digits to Purdue, and they were able, by mainly defending in the second half, to come back and win both of those games. If they fall behind Kentucky by double digits in the first half tonight, that game is over, because Kentucky is not going to give up that kind of lead the way Ohio State did and the way that Purdue did. Kansas is going to have to defend. Jeff Withey now has 27 blocks in the tournament. The all-time record is 29. Joakim Noah, when he was at Florida back in 2006, when they had that bomb squad for Billy Donovan that won back-to-back titles, Joakim Noah had 29 blocks. Jeff Withey has 27 blocks and obviously 1 game remaining. Anthony Davis has 23 blocks in the tournament and certainly could get 6 more tonight. I mean, he is just that athletic, that good. His timing is unbelievable, off the charts. So you can keep an eye on that, blocks as well as everything else. These teams did play very early in the season back in November at Madison Square Garden in New York. Kentucky won 75-65 over Kansas. Davis in that game had 14 points and 7 blocks. So even though they're much different than they were back in November, obviously the teams have seen each other. They know each other. I assume everybody knows that Bill Self at Kansas won his only national title a few years ago over John Calipari when he was at Memphis. So certainly in title games, Self won, Calipari nothing in head-to-head matches. But again, everything points to Kentucky to win this game. I'll go with Kansas because I picked them before the tournament started in that NCAA pool, and they can defend. You have to wonder, if Calipari doesn't win this one, they're going to start looking at Calipari as the guy who, for some reason, can't win the big one. He lost in the Final Four at UMass. He lost in the final game at Memphis. He lost in the Final Four at Kentucky already. Today is his fourth opportunity in the Final Four, and we'll see if he can get that monkey off his back. Kentucky, Kansas, national TV tonight. CBS probably starts around 9:20, 9:25. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promise is asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you could stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508. 800-926-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to the NBA and the NHL as the NHL season winds down towards the playoffs. But first, a few NFL notes. Of course, you probably know by now, Sean Payton has decided to appeal his one-year suspension by Roger Goodell. Unfortunately and absurdly, the appeals for the penalties handed down by Roger Goodell, the appeal goes to Roger Goodell. So, you know, that's not really an appeal. But Payton will appeal, apparently wants a little more time. They're trying to get some time figuring out whether Bill Parcells will coach the team. The GM, Loomis, is going to appeal his 8 games. The assistant coach, Joe Vitt, is going to appeal his 6 games. No word yet as to whether or not Greg Williams, who was really the architect of that bounty, I don't want to call it a scam, but that bounty system that he instituted at New Orleans, Greg Williams has not announced whether he will appeal or not. But now word just came down in the last hour or so that that appeal is going to be heard probably tomorrow afternoon in front of Goodell. Presumably these guys will have to come to New York City and meet him on Park Avenue at the NFL's offices. But I don't think Payton is really doing this expecting the suspension to be lesser. I think he's doing it to get what he's getting now. The suspension was supposed to start yesterday, so he's getting at least Monday, Tuesday. They'll probably take a couple of days to make a decision. He'll probably get the rest of this week till like Friday. I don't think they're going to let it go too long. Goodell does not want to be viewed, I think, as being weak. The notion that he might, you know, even the NFL in their statement says we're happy to look at any new evidence. Well, that's not what an appeal is. An appeal isn't for something to add new evidence. An appeal is saying the lower decision, the prior decision, was incorrect. So I don't think that's going to change the length of the suspension. But Payton probably wanted an extra 5 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's probably what he will get. They have to decide whether they're all on the same page and want Bill Parcells to coach. And Bill Parcells has to decide whether he can gear up and do it again. It was an interesting interview with Joe Gibbs, who you probably know, won 3 Super Bowls with the Redskins, retired, got into the Hall of Fame, unlike Parcells, who did not get in his first year of eligibility, then came back and coached the Redskins again with very little success. But Joe Gibbs certainly was like, here are some quotes from Joe Gibbs about whether Parcells could or should coach the Saints. Quote, it makes absolute sense, close quote. Quote, he's the perfect guy for Coach Payton, close quote, of course, because they were friends. And finally, Joe Gibbs said it's a, quote, natural fit, close quote, for Bill Parcells to coach the Saints. This might actually be attractive to Bill Parcells if they let him bring in one or two of his own guys, because they're a ready-made team. They're certainly a Super Bowl contender. They have won a Super Bowl recently. They have Drew Brees. I think it's the kind of thing that Parcells might actually do, even though teams have flirted with him and he's flirted with them for the last 5 years, but he's turned down every offer. This would be a one-shot, one-year deal, and then he could ride off into the sunset. He'd certainly like a chance, I think, Parcells would, to get his 3rd Super Bowl. Keep in mind, Gibbs, his contemporary, has 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks for the Washington Redskins, so he was always viewed to be a magician, maybe a step above Parcells because of his ability to win 3 Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. But certainly Gibbs had nothing to, you know, he owns one of those racing teams now. Gibbs had nothing but good things to say about Bill Parcells and was totally on board with the notion that he could, if he wants to, coach the New Orleans Saints this year. Another interesting thing that's come up, apparently the NFL Players Association has told some of the players who were on New Orleans during the Greg Williams bounty program that they possibly could be sued, even criminally. They could be indicted and tried, and I don't quite agree with the latter part. We discussed already the notion, that if one of these players intentionally injured another player and it was proven that the bounty system was in effect and this player went out of his way to knock out, for example, Kurt Warner. You keep seeing the play when Kurt Warner at Arizona threw an interception and he gets almost knocked out of his shoes by a guy in New Orleans. If that could be proven, I think you could have some civil liability. If you ended a guy's career based on a bounty system, I think the player could be sued, Williams could be sued, Peyton could be sued, the owner could be sued, the entire New Orleans organization could be sued. Now, when they asked Sean Payton last week down there at the NFL owners' meetings if anybody had been seriously injured as a result of the bounty program, he quickly said yes. But I'm not sure he's the guy you want to ask. You might want to ask guys who were injured playing against the New Orleans Saints for those 3 years that the bounty program was in effect. But you haven't heard, and I think you would have heard by now, you haven't heard about any injuries as a result of playing against the New Orleans Saints. By that I mean serious injuries, career-threatening injuries, career-ending injuries, concussions and the like. But I don't think there have been. Nobody certainly has come forward, and this has been out for a while now. So I don't think, you know, maybe the NFL Players Association, as they should, are being very careful on behalf of their players, but I'd be more concerned with possible civil lawsuits. If there is such a guy who came out and said he was injured as a result against the Saints as a result of that bounty system, we haven't heard that player. We don't know if he exists. You'd have to think if he does exist by now, we would have heard about him. But that remains an open issue. The commissioner is apparently going to discipline some of those players. I know I heard a report on ESPN where they said they thought it was just going to be the defensive captains like a Jonathan Vilma of New Orleans, but we'll just have to wait and see. That's expected to come down in the next week or two. But again, is it just going to be one or two or three guys who were defensive captains in those years, or is it going to be the 20 to 25 players who essentially were in on the bounty system for the New Orleans Saints that was instituted by their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams? Let's switch now to the NBA. Number of interesting games yesterday in the NBA. The Bulls go out to Oklahoma City. Now, we've talked about this all year. The Bulls are just not the Bulls without Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose has now missed 10 games with his hamstring issue. And again, we've discussed it at length. I don't know who the number two scorer is going to be for Chicago. They are 42-12, so give them credit, even with the loss yesterday. But they go out to Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City buries them 92-78. And it wasn't even that close, frankly. The Bulls outscored the Thunder by 15 in the fourth quarter, so they were down 29 going into the fourth quarter. Bulls 78, Thunder 92, Thunder 40-12, the Bulls 42-12. But again, Westbrook and Durant, unbelievable. Westbrook 10 for 18 from the field, 27 points, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 rebounds. He is one of the best point guards in the NBA. All of that in 30 minutes. Durant in 32 minutes, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Again, a very, very tough team, Oklahoma City. Harden off the bench, 11 points, 2 assists. They have that big three at guards, but they do have the bangers, Serge Ibaka, Kendrick Perkins, Ibaka with 9 points and 6 rebounds. They're going to make a run. You know, Oklahoma City, and I thought Miami, we'll get to Miami in a minute because they got blown out yesterday by the Celtics. But Oklahoma City is making a case for them to win it all this year. They look like they're the class of the West. Can Can San Antonio, for their final run with their big three, can they beat the Thunder in the playoffs? Boy, I think that's going to be very hard. But the Thunder, I don't view it to be a message game because Derrick Rose didn't play for the Bulls. You know, Kyle Korver started but was only 5 for 13 from the field. I thought he shot it well enough to be the next guy, 14 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, but again, only 5 for 13. Boozer only had 8, Lou Aldang with 8, Joakim Noah with 5. You know, John Lucas III off the bench with 19. He's played well in the absence of Derrick Rose, 19 points, 4 assists. The only other guy in double figures was Taj Gibson, who had a double-double, 10 points, 11 rebounds. But Chicago still has that who's going to score for us if Derrick Rose can't score. And that's going to be a problem. Whereas Oklahoma City, with Westbrook and Durant, you have two of the top scorers in the league. Westbrook, one of the most athletic players in the league. Thunder, 92. Bulls, 78. The Heat go up to Boston to play the Celtics, national TV game yesterday, as was the Thunder and the Bulls. And again, just not a contest. Celtics up 5 at the half, but they go on to blow out the Heat in the third quarter, 31-12 on route to a 91-72 victory as well. Celtics 30-22, moving to first place in their own division, drawing away from Philly and the Knicks. Celtics 91, Heat 72. Paul Pierce maybe wasn't in shape at the beginning of the season. That's the new thing on him. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. They did all this without Ray Allen, which is pretty impressive. Bass, who's been playing well, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Rondo, what can you say? Triple-double, 16 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds. Another one of the top point guards in the league, 7 for 13 from the field. You know the knock on Rondo. He's not a great shooter. Well, he shot well yesterday. Bradley now starting for the Celtics as well, 13 points. KG, 10 points, 8 assists, in 10 points, 8 rebounds in 29 minutes. Again, Boston, I don't think they can make a run either, but they're playing better well. If they get Ray Allen back, you know, they can go one final attempt for the big three plus Rondo, although I say it's now Rondo plus the big three because Rondo, I think, is above all of these guys, Pierce, KG, and Ray Allen. He's that good. Celtics 91, Heat 72. James, Wade, and Bosch all played, so no excuse there. LeBron with 23 points, 4 rebounds, 0 assists. Dwayne Wade, only 6 for 17 from the floor, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. And Bosch, a nightmare game for him, 2 for 11 from the field, 4 points. He did have 11 rebounds. Shane Battier off the bench with 11 points. But again, Miami has to rely on their big three, and they certainly didn't play well. If LeBron has no assists, Wade shoots 6 for 17, Bosch 2 for 11 for 4 points, you got to give a lot of credit to the Boston Celtics. Celtics 91, Heat 72. Celtics moved to 30-22. The Heat dropped to 37-14. A couple of other games quickly. The Nuggets beat the Orlando Magic 104-101 in Orlando. Again, Orlando has Dwight Howard for the rest of this year and another year. He did not play yesterday. Back spasms kept him out. Big Baby Davis got the start instead of Howard or in place of Howard. Had a very good game, 18 points, 16 rebounds, but not enough. The Nuggets, 104. The Magic, 101. Lawson, 25 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. Aaron Aflalo, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Al Harrington off the bench, 18 points. And Andre Miller, the backup point guard, 15 points. For Orlando, Jameer Nelson, 27 points, 5 assists. Anderson, 20 points, 9 rebounds. Did roll his ankle towards the end of the game, but Denver gets the win over the Magic, 104-101. A couple of other games quickly. The Lakers beat the Warriors 120-112. Andrew Bynum only played 10 minutes. He rolled his ankle. He had x-rays out. He couldn't come back. He had x-rays after the game. No points. But after the game, those x-rays were negative, so right now he's day-to-day. Kobe went for 40 on 16 for 28 shooting, 3 for 3 from three-point land, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. He's Kobe. What do you expect? Pau Gasol, 26 and 11 rebounds. Ramon Sessions, the new point guard there, who's been doing a good job and will orchestrate into the playoffs, will give the Lakers a chance, I think, because of his athletic ability. 23 points, 9 assists. Lakers 120, Warriors 112. David Lee for the Warriors, 27 points and 6 rebounds to lead Golden State. And one final game to take a quick look at. Indiana beats the Rockets in overtime on the road in Houston. Indiana 104, the Rockets 102. Danny Granger was unbelievable for Indiana, 32 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Hibbert, their big man, chipped in with 15 points and 9 rebounds. For Houston, Dragic, their point guard, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Courtney Lee with 20 points. And Marcus Camby, the ageless wonder now, 10 points, 9 rebounds for Houston. Pacers, 104. Houston 102. Pacers now 10 games over 500 at 31-21. The Rockets 28-25, fighting for a playoff spot. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Sports news when you want it. 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7. Online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
High quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a
vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. One final NBA note, big news in New York. You probably heard about it. Jeremy Lin out for the certainly regular season, probably the playoffs as well, assuming the Knicks make the playoffs, which they should. They're in eighth place. But there's real controversy in New York. Apparently, Lin had a bad knee injury, a torn meniscus, needs surgery. Originally, it was described as a sore knee, and there are accusations in the New York newspapers today that maybe they held out, the Knicks held out, held back that information that he was going to miss the rest of the regular season and probably the playoffs, because playoff ticket money was due. Apparently last week. So that's a big controversy. Of course, that's a big loss for the Knicks to lose Jeremy Lin. But we'll just have to see what happens. There's more to this story than certainly the public has been told in terms of the timing of everything. First, he was only going to miss a game. It was a sore knee. Then he was day-to-day. Now, poof, he, you know, is going to have surgery this week. Now, there is that. Could he have fought through without surgery and played some more? Personally, I find that hard to believe with a torn meniscus. I've had that injury a couple of times in my life myself. Hard to play with a torn meniscus, virtually impossible, and at the level he's playing at, you know, where you rely on cutting and quickness for virtually all of your game. I don't think that was a possibility, no matter what you hear. But Jeremy Lin out for the season. Amari Stoudemire, he's out. You know, the Knicks, at best, I think, will be one and done. But they do, when they have that full training camp, I'm not saying they're the Miami Heat, but when they get that full training camp next year, and hopefully health for Amari Stoudemire and Jeremy Lin, of course, Carmelo scoring a little more now. We'll see who else comes back next year. Don't know if Baron Davis will be back. But the Knicks, I think, at least have turned the corner, frankly, I think, because of Jeremy Lin. You know, they had Carmelo, they had Amari, they were terrible at the beginning of the season. Lin kind of was the glue that put them together, which is, of course, what a point guard's supposed to do. But right now he's scheduled to have surgery and definitely miss the regular season and probably will miss the playoffs as well. But that's the big news in New York, certainly on the basketball front. A few other things now, miscellaneous things. We'll get to the NHL. Women's NCAA Final Four last night, Notre Dame beat UConn 83-75 in overtime. Notre Dame's second straight title game. They lost to Texas A&M last year. Baylor undefeated now, 39-0. Brittany Griner, the 6'8 player for Baylor, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. They easily beat Stanford 59-47. So the final tomorrow night, obviously the men tonight, the final tomorrow night in the women's NCAA basketball is Notre Dame and Baylor. They played earlier in the year down in Waco, Texas, a Baylor home game. Baylor beat Notre Dame pretty easily, 94-81. Griner was 14 for 18 for 32 points. I don't think people really give Notre Dame a shot, but at least the first game was a home game for Baylor, so we'll just have to see whether Notre Dame can turn the tables on Baylor. A few other miscellaneous things. In golf now, you know this is the week of the Masters. You're already hearing that Tiger Woods is now back and he can win it. I'm not bought on that totally, but we'll just have to see what happens. Obviously, Woods won last week, and people view this as he's all the way back. You know, I heard an interview with Jim Nance on Friday in New York where he said, oh, people would come up to me and say, oh, how can Tiger ever win again? How could Tiger ever win again? And, you know, Nance said, oh, that was ridiculous. But that's not the question. The only question for Tiger is, can he get to 19 wins, 19 majors, and beat Jack Nicklaus? And there is a question there. I think the way he plays in the Masters this weekend will be really kind of point us to where he is. Can he make a run? Can he win another major? I've said all along, obviously he can win, and I think he can even win another major, but can he win five majors? I don't think so, but we'll find out towards the end of this week. You probably know the numbers. Jack Nicklaus has 73 PGA wins. Tiger has 72. Jack Nicklaus, of course, the all-time leader in majors with 18. Tiger has 14. So obviously this is a big deal to see, A, where Tiger's game is versus the best in the world, B, see if he can win another major now. He is 36 years old. Yes, I know Jack Nicklaus won the Masters at 46, but even that was considered a minor miracle at the time it happened. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with the Masters this week. We'll get to the NHL in a couple of minutes, but first a few other notes. A sad note in soccer. If you were around in the late 70s when Giorgio Canaglia came to America, one of the top soccer players in the world, of course Pele was here as well, and Canaglia passes away yesterday, dies of complications from a heart attack at the age of 65. He originally starred in Italy where he was born. He came to the Cosmos, New York Cosmos, in 1976. He became a four-time champion in the North American Soccer League. He's also the North American Soccer League's all-time leading goal scorer with 242 goals. Canaglia was voted into the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame in the year 2000, but Giorgio Canaglia, a very outgoing, confident, some would say braggart of a soccer player, but certainly one of the greatest ever in the North American Soccer League and an international star as well in Italy, also played in England. He's dead at the age of 65 after complications from a heart attack. Major League Baseball notes now. Josh Beckett of the Red Sox going in today for an exam for a thumb injury. Alfredo Aceves of the Red Sox has told a reporter that Bobby Valentine told him that he, Aceves, should prepare to start this Saturday against the Tigers in place of Beckett. So it looks like whatever the results of Beckett's exam today, he's not going to make his first start of the year, which was supposed to be Saturday against the Tigers. Obviously a blow to the Red Sox, who had that epic collapse last year, have a new manager as Valentine replaces Tito Francona, and also has pitching issues. You know, if a guy like Beckett can't pitch at the start of the season, that's a big problem. The Cardinals also with a big problem. Their ace, Chris Carpenter, is going to start the season on the DL. He has some kind of nerve problem in his shoulder, in his right shoulder, his throwing shoulder, and he's out indefinitely. Apparently, they're hoping he can make it back by May 1, but that's a big blow. Now, again, as you know, the Cardinals didn't have Wainwright last year because he missed the whole season, and they still won the World Series. But no Pujols, gone to the Angels. No Chris Carpenter for at least the first month. That's going to be a very big problem for the St. Louis Cardinals. One other note, I don't watch much exhibition baseball, but I do watch a little. Yesterday, Cleveland against the Rockies out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Uvaldo Jimenez, you may remember, was the ace of the Rockies for a couple of years. He started, I think it was two seasons ago, 15-0. Looked like a shoe-in for the Cy Young and fell off a cliff the second half of the season. And then last year wasn't very good. Eventually traded to the Cleveland Indians, who tried to make a run. He was at best so-so with Cleveland last year. But apparently he and Troy Tulowitzki, the star of the Rockies, had issues when Jimenez was on the Rockies. And yesterday in an exhibition game, Jimenez hit Troy Tulowitzki on the elbow. Jim Tracy, the manager of the Rockies, called it a gutless act, said he lost all respect for Jimenez. Also said Jimenez should be suspended for throwing intentionally at Tulowitzki. Jimenez, on, for his part, as you know, as they always say, well, the pitch just got away from me. But he certainly, you know, if it got away from him, the ball was 2 feet inside. That's how he got Tulowitzki on the elbow. And the interesting thing is, just by chance, Commissioner Bud Selig was at that game and saw the whole thing happen. And interestingly also, Jimenez, after he hit Tulowitzki, immediately threw his glove away and came down off the mound and walked towards home plate, an unusual action for a pitcher. You know how this usually happens. The pitcher throws the ball, stands at the mound like nothing happens. It's usually the batter who throws the bat and the helmet, rushes the mound, tries to get to the pitcher. This was almost the opposite. Tulowitzki definitely said something when he got hit in the elbow, but he certainly didn't look like he was running towards the mound. Rather, Jimenez came off the mound, threw his glove away, and walked to within 10 feet of home plate. Of course, by then, and that was 50 feet that he's walking, both benches emptied, no real punches thrown. But again, it was interesting. Jim Tracy, a pretty mild-mannered guy. Maybe that's one of the reasons. You know, you might recall there were questions, why would the Rockies trade Jimenez? Yes, he's having a bad year, but he's got tremendous talent. He's not that old. Why? Well, maybe this is the reason why. Maybe he and Tulowitzki in the clubhouse didn't get along. And Tulowitzki, of course, is going to be the winner of any battle in the Rockies clubhouse when there's an argument between Tulowitzki and virtually anybody in that clubhouse. So we'll have to see if Selig, who was there and saw the whole thing happen live in front of him, I'm sure he'll review tapes, et cetera, whether he'll take Tracy's suggestion. He won't obviously say it was Tracy's suggestion, but, you know, Tracy's a pretty mild-mannered guy and I think a very good manager with the Dodgers for a long time. He really came down on Jimenez, and look, you can't have a guy like Tulowitzki miss time. I don't think he's going to miss opening day, but he is going to have to rest that elbow for a few days, according to reports from this morning. Want to switch now to the National Hockey League. Number of games getting down to close to the playoffs. The big game yesterday, the Flyers go out to Pittsburgh. Not only is it a Pennsylvania rivalry, but Pittsburgh is now in fourth, the Flyers in fifth. You know how it works in the NHL, the three division leaders. Pittsburgh had made a run at the Rangers for the best record in the East, but surprisingly were beaten twice by the Islanders, and that's allowed the Rangers to open up a five-point cushion over Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh then drops from the second most points in the East to the fourth seed because, again, the three division winners are the 1-2 and 3 seed in order of the points that they have. Yesterday, in a tough game, Philadelphia beats Pittsburgh 6-4. The Penguins actually took a two-goal lead. Steve Sullivan scored his 16th, and James Neal with his 39th. What a year he's having for Pittsburgh. But then five unanswered by the Flyers. Giroux with his 28th, Max Talbot with his 19th, Wayne Simmons with his 27th, Jakub Voracek with his 16th and would later get his 17th. Sullivan would later score his second goal of the game, 17th of the year for Pittsburgh. And then Chris Kunitz scores his 24th very late, but not enough. Philly 6, Pittsburgh 4. Of course, if that's all there is, it would just be another tough hockey game late in the season. But somebody on the Flyers, I couldn't see who it was. I did watch the end of this game, cross-checked Sidney Crosby on after a whistle from behind. And then somebody on Pittsburgh came out and took out Daniel Briere of Philly, you know, superstar for superstar. Briere is an unbelievable player. He's not Crosby, but he's unbelievable. And took him out with a vicious check in the middle of the ice very late in the game. And, of course, that led to a free-for-all. And that led to Lavalette, the coach of the Flyers, yelling at Bilsma, the coach of the Penguins. They were going back and forth. And there's some real bad blood there. And it only gets better or worse depending on your point of view. Philly has dominated the Penguins this year, 4-1. Philly has never lost to the Penguins in the Penguins' new arena. They're 5-0. Saturday, they're playing in Pittsburgh in one of the final regular season games. And it might just shake out the way it is right now that Philly and Pittsburgh will play in the first round of the playoffs. And you can expect a bloodbath, I think, probably this Saturday and probably in the first round of the playoffs. These teams hate each other. They're in the same state. They're very good hockey teams. Right now, Pittsburgh leads Philly by 1 point in the standings. We'll get to that in a minute. But that was, I thought, the major game yesterday. A few other games. The Red Wings beat Florida in a shootout, 2-1. Yuri Hudler scored his 25th goal of the year for the Red Wings to tie up the game at 1 after Tomas Fleischmann scored his 26th for Florida. In the shootout, Pavel Datsyuk and Hudler scored for Detroit. Wojciech Wolski scored for Florida, but not enough. Detroit 2, Florida 1 in a shootout. Minnesota Wild beat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-4. Devin Setoguchi for Minnesota with his 19th goal of the year. Danny Heatley with his 22nd. Patrick Kane scored his 22nd and 23rd goals of the year for the Blackhawks, but not enough as the Wild beat Chicago 5-4 in Chicago. The Bruins beat the Rangers. The Rangers had a chance to clinch their first in the Eastern Conference, but denied by the Bruins at least yesterday. Bruins 2, Rangers 1 in New York. Tim Thomas, the MVP of the playoffs last year, the Conn Smythe Trophy Award winner, beats the King, Henrik Lundqvist. Rangers with 34 shots on goal, but not enough. Boston 2, New York 1. Marian Gaborik scores his 40th of the year. Very good year, obviously, for Gaborik to give the Rangers a 1-0 lead. But then in the second period, the Bruins' Dennis Seidenberg scored his 5th, and Patrice Bergeron scored his 22nd. That was the difference. Boston 2, New York 1. One other game to look at quickly. Edmonton goes down to Anaheim to face the Ducks. Edmonton 2, Anaheim 1. Edmonton with only 15 shots on goal. Anaheim with 33 shots on goal, but it didn't matter. Edmonton gets the win. They jumped out to a two-goal lead, and this is one of the funniest things you'll ever hear. Teemu Häkkinen scores his first and second goal of the year for Edmonton, and then Teemu Selanne scores his 26th late in the first period for Anaheim. And again, it's got to be some kind of Guinness World Book of Records or Elias Sports Bureau questions, you know, when in the history of hockey has only a guy named Teemu scored, or two different guys named Teemu scored. In any event, Edmonton 2, Anaheim 1. Looking quickly at the playoff picture, the Rangers, 107 points, they're in first place. They're going to be, I think they only need one more point to clinch over Pittsburgh for the most points. The Rangers, Boston in second, Florida in third, they lead their respective divisions. Pittsburgh now in fourth place with 102 points, Philly right behind them with 101 points. The New Jersey Devils, sixth place with 96, Ottawa in seventh place with 92. All seven of those teams have clinched playoff spots. But Washington is in the eighth seed with 88 points right now, three games to go. Buffalo right behind them with 86 points. Winnipeg has 81 with three games left, so they cannot make the playoffs. It's just really Washington and Buffalo essentially for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. In the West, it's Vancouver with 107 points, St. Louis with 106, way back to Los Angeles with 91, but Los Angeles leading the Pacific Division. Obviously, Los Angeles is the third seed because they're ahead in the Pacific, but Phoenix with 91 and San Jose with 90 and Dallas with 89 points, all in the Pacific right now, 7th, 8th, and 9th place. Colorado with 88 points. Calgary just about mathematically eliminated with 86 points and two left. But you have to understand, even though Los Angeles is seeded third, they might drop not only all the way to seventh or eighth, they could at least in theory drop to ninth, because the Pacific Division is Los Angeles, 91 points, three games left. Phoenix, 91 points, three games left. San Jose, 90 points, three games left. And Dallas, 89 points, three games left. Three of those four teams will make the playoffs. Maybe Colorado from the Northwest can sneak in there if they win their final two, but all those other teams have a game in hand on Colorado, who has already played 80 games and has 88 points. So that's an amazing playoff race in the West. Quickly now to the TV tonight. Very little TV. Normally the NBA doesn't even play when Kansas and Kentucky, when they have the NCAA championship game. But tonight the NBA does have a schedule. One game on the NBA Network, Rockets at the Bulls, 8 o'clock Eastern NBA. One hockey game, Capitals at Lightning, 7 o'clock Eastern on the NBC Sports Channel. And of course the big game tonight, Kansas at Kentucky. It's listed at 9 o'clock on CBS, but it actually won't start till about 9:20 or 9:23. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.